I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Ray.
I'm Alex Reed.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of
Mostly Business.
And welcome back to another episode. I'm here today because last week I wasn't here and I just wanted to say that I missed you guys and I wanted to personally cuss my two co-hosts for not mentioning me at all. I literally listened to the episode last week and nobody said, oh my God, like Ray's not here.
Did you not see who we had as a guest, Ray?
But
I was in perpetual and everlasting shock.
But do you know why? Because we thought you were on the way. No. So we thought, okay, let's not say Ray's not with us today. And then you just turn up at the
I was offended. Yeah. I was personally offended. And I think one of you guys needs to apologize.
Well, that's not happening. So we didn't do anything wrong.
Alex? Wow. Okay, so
welcome to an episode of Mostly Lit, guys. This is a good week. Good week. Sun shining. Everybody's in good spirits. Yes. How's everybody doing this week?
Great. Before we get into it, we have an amazing guest for you guys today. Can the amazing guests please introduce themselves?
Hi. I'm apparently not whatever amazing guest you had last week. Who was that? Who was it?
It's a writer that Ray really
was enamored by. Now her name is Yersa Daly Ward, and she wrote a book that's, is it out yet?
It's out now.
Yeah, it's called The Terrible, and it's amazing.
All right, dope. So that's not me. That's not me. I am Gabourey City Bay.
Hi, Gabourey.
Hi.
Welcome.
Now welcome me.
Welcome.
Basically, after we announce an incredible guest, we do need the horns.
Yeah, we do need the horns. We need to actually
the
start.
The bashment horns. Can you do them?
I need to put it in.
Yeah, or like a round of applause.
Or something.
Some cheering. Some Wendy Williams claps.
Like that? Did that bust anyone's ears
out? I like that.
Something like that.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you. Thank
really
you for
excited
being here.
To have you on the show. Thank you for gracing our England. I think it's brighter today because you're here.
Obviously. Yeah. No, thank you so much for having me.
No,
honestly, I've been to London quite a bit and the weather has never been nicer
right?
than it is right now.
This is a sign.
I think so.
It's a sign.
It's good. I'm out here in a mini skirt. I'm wearing a fresh pair of Jordans. I'm out here in these London streets.
Oh, okay. So, Derek, how's your week been?
Oh, yeah. My week's been all right. You know, it's not too bad. Been at work and that is, chilled. I mean, I don't know what you expect me to say. I haven't done anything interesting or amazing.
You never
I mean,
do anything interesting.
I never do. No, you're right. I'm reading an interesting book, though.
Okay.
By, I forget his first name, but he's a Mandela. So he's Nelson Mandela's grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written a book about, like, life lessons from my grandfather
mm-hmm.
to kind of, you know, coincide with the 100-year anniversary of Nelson Mandela's birth. So, yeah, I'm reading that. That's quite interesting. That's quite good, you know.
Okay.
So, I mean, literally, that's been the most interesting thing I've done this week, actually. Yeah.
Right.
Work, just work, sweet. You know, until today, so, yeah.
All right.
How's everybody else? Sorry, I feel like I'm killing the vibe.
You just chance to like plummet the.
No, I mean, it was magic. It was a pretty good week. I went to the British Library to see Irsa when she was in Conversation.
Yes, we did.
That was really good.
That was really good.
How was that?
That was good. Just reading some of the stuff from her poetry collection called Bone. Oh. And that was really amazing. Like, she's just one of them people that just, she's a performer. You know, oh. You know. Yeah, so she was really engaging with the crowd.
It's funny. I don't like poetry.
You don't like poetry?
I don't like.
I said this as well.
I don't. I do. I have an appreciation for watching it performed, but sometimes I feel like poetry is so personal.
Yeah.
And I feel like a voyeur, and I feel like, oh no, those are your private, you know, thoughts and feelings and stuff. And I feel, you know, weird, like I'm overstepping a boundary.
Yeah.
When I'm hearing and reading it, but also like they're an artist, and so they want me to be in there. But like then I can't ask questions. Yeah. What if I'm like nosier than you want me to be?
Yeah, sure.
They're just out there doing their thing because like poetry is highly emotive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it can seem quite intrusive. But that's what I did this week. And how's your few days been here?
Been really great. I love London so much. I feel like I'm always here. I'm not here enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very busy, busy, busy few days. I got here, I guess, 3 days ago, an 11-hour flight from California, you guys.
11 hours.
Yeah, this is how dedicated I am to being right here with y'all.
Thank you.
My level of dedication. and like jet lag, and like I've been waking up at 1 a.m. mm-hmm. and like having a full day. But last night I actually slept, and so I'm out here. I'm ready again. Yeah. Like I said, in fresh Jordans.
You got much planned on for the rest of the day? Like you're gonna go to the South Bank.
Why? What's up at the South Bank?
Like, down the South Bank. It's just like by the riverbank, and there's like loads of different places. Like,
I love South Bank.
You literally just go there when nothing's happening.
What? Nothing? Oh yeah,
just
that's actually
chill out.
Yeah, it's a chill out. It's a nice place. At the moment. I don't even know what's going on at the South Bank Centre, but it's usually a good space. It's usually loads of little food joints and whatnot.
Mm. Yeah. Basically, the South Bank sponsor us.
I mean, the South Bank itself is a place, right? Like,
did you get Jordans from here?
No, I got them from LA.
I was gonna say, because I haven't seen fours in the UK for a long time.
Okay, I have to admit this. So like, I am not great. This is my first pair of Jordans.
Oh right, okay.
I bought three pairs of Jordans in one time because I never I grew up really poor, and all the kids, like, and everyone else I grew up with was also poor. You had Jordans if your dad sold drugs.
Oh, and God.
And my daddy ain't sell drugs, so I'm sure they got it other ways. No. But I realized once I had a little bit of money that I could actually afford Jordans, and I just sort of like went down to the mall and I went a little bit off. And so I had I was talking to like Amanda Seals, and I was wearing these, and she was like, okay, fours. And I was like, what? What are you? Like, I don't know what that means. Yeah, I don't know Jordan culture. Yeah. I just went for like cute shoes.
Exactly. So what are fours?
You bought the classics.
Oh, did I?
Like, what's a four?
Yeah, fours are classics. It's like the number. I think.
Is it like an iPhone? Like the iPhone?
I think it's the order in which they came out at the beginning.
Oh,
but then you've got other ones. So you've got like Spizzix, which is, I think they're based on.
There's something called Spizzix.
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 Yeah, yeah.
Spizzix.
I don't partake.
You gotta respect the Jordan
trainer.
My bad.
I have one pair of trainers which I'm wearing now. These are called the Nike Serenas, I think.
Okay.
I think that's what they're called.
I've heard of her.
The only I think they're Serenas. I don't know. Yeah, the only ones I wear.
Yeah.
I don't wear trainers.
That's fair. Trainers are an expensive habit.
Right? I saw these and I was like, oh, they're cute. Yeah. I went to the cashier.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
Excuse me?
Yeah. I hate walking into JD Sports or Foot Locker or anything just because it's a huge attack on my bank balance if I bought any trainers. And I can't.
See, your daddy need to sell drugs.
I need to have some words with him because
I can't
be living in destitution
in
like this.
Right?
I don't get it.
What's he doing?
I don't know, man.
He needs to step up his game.
Out here paying normal NI and doing,
I know,
doing
paying
normal
taxes.
Paying normal taxes. What's this about? We need to be getting this illegit money. Right. Ray, your week, was it?
My week has been okay. Actually, my week has been very stressful.
Mm.
I've had a lot of growing up to do this week. A lot of adulting, and I'm proud of myself. But you know when you reach that type stage in your life where you're like, where like things are moving forward and you're really scared,
mm-hmm.
and you have to make life decisions. And
what does that feel like?
Horrible.
Mm.
I'm a person that hates change, and so the reason why I deal with a lot of things that maybe aren't right is because I don't like change, so I'll just keep on doing it.
Mm.
And when you realise that you have to make decisions and life is like staring at you in the face and it's like, you have to do this now. It's so surreal. It's like, okay, the decisions are just made and that's it. Nothing happens. It's crazy. So I've had to make a lot of like adult decisions and I'm getting hives, I'm getting stressed, I'm getting spots.
I need to calm down.
It's so bizarre. It's, I feel like it's just so strange that you're saying you're only now making adult decisions. But I mean, you're a lawyer.
What? Trainee lawyer. Well, trainee you can't lawyer. Say that. Yeah.
Okay.
But well, I am, but it's like, I know, but...
You're a lawyer. Shut up. You're fine.
I know.
Like, oh my God.
No, but it's like... That is, has always been a plan, you know. It's like you do this, you finish education, you do this, you apply for this job. Ask me to apply for a job now, I'm like, I don't know. Where do people apply for jobs?
Because this has been
a route that has been that I have
what
planned.
Is this?
No, as in I have planned this route since I was like 16. So this is the only thing I know.
But that was a life changing decision you made at 16.
I didn't know that. I thought that was just me wanting a career or whatever, but now it's just like doing other things. It's crazy, it's bizarre, like life decisions and life is just it's
what
intense.
Privilege to have life planned.
Oh, shut the fuck. I feel like you're diminishing and you're like lowering my hardships. Okay, this isn't life Olympics.
All right, fair enough. Okay,
thank
life
you.
Life Olympics.
But yeah, so I've had to do a lot of adulting, and I can tell you for sure, adulting is not fun. But
it ain't been fun. It ain't been fun since 18. But hey, here we go.
Yeah, there's no other choice out of it. Like, you know? Sometimes I think about, you know, they say life is short, but life is long as shit. Like, it's the longest thing you'll ever do.
Oh my God,
it's the longest thing you'll ever do. Like, live.
You're like weighing out every decision. Like, once you leave the house, you're like, well, that's money.
Yeah.
Just stepping out your house. It's just completely.
Like, and everything is adulting. Like, until, I mean, like, the only way out of being adulthood is like death.
Yes.
So, like, a tragedy.
Yeah. God.
Honestly, I wish we had off switches on us. So you could just turn yourself off maybe a couple of months.
Yeah.
Months.
And then it will just turn you back on automatically.
Like, I don't know, hun. That sounds like dementia. You gotta think about your choices. You gotta think about your choices wisely.
It's like in Click. Have you seen Click?
No.
Where you can fast forward.
Yeah, but then
that had a really sad ending. Yeah, that had a sad ending.
Because he fast forwarded through certain points in his life.
Yeah.
I'd want to hibernate. That's what I would do. It's like, you know what? Maybe within this period where I'm maybe going for a lot, I make the life decisions and I don't want to deal with the consequences of just the everyday. So I just like.
So you want to be irresponsible, basically?
Not irresponsible. I just don't want to deal with the consequences of the choices.
That's irresponsibility.
Right. That's absorbing yourself.
No, it sounds like what you want to do in life is like, you know what like crop dusting is?
No.
So it's like when you're in an elevator full of people and you have to fart. And so you press for your floor.
Yeah.
You fart and get out of the elevator and the elevator door closes and everyone else has to deal with your fart.
Yes.
That's what you want to do in your life.
Yes. Absolutely, because I want to go to my floor and be comfortable.
Wait, if I fall off this stool
today, I just want one. Wow. They call that crop dusting.
In the States.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
That is.
Wow. Okay, so we've heard about what Derek is reading. No. Alex, are you reading anything?
I'm reading... Okay, guys, don't laugh.
Okay.
All right, we need to be serious.
Yeah, okay. What is it?
I'm reading Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Why are we going to laugh at that?
I don't know.
I've never read that. Who wrote that and what is it about?
I forgot what the names are. This is my
aren't there different...
Yeah, but like basically some people, there's two guys, they're speakers and they collect the stories and there's different writers that write different stories on there. It's one of those books that talk about different elements of life like love, hope, forgiveness, and various people submit different stories and short stories and essays in there. Some of them are short stories, some of them are personal anecdotes. I just picked it up at Waterstones yesterday because I felt like...
You need something for the soul.
Yeah, something.
To invigorate loins.
Me. Okay. but yeah,
come on,
But yeah, like I've seen it there for like a while because when I was 14, I read Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, and that was pretty cool.
You've always been like this. I love
I've always been like. Listen, I found it in Jamaica. It was literally just in my granddad's house. So okay. I just started reading it. Yeah, Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's by Jack Canfield and one of his partners, and they basically, they're speakers, and they collate all these stories together.
Yeah.
And like, there's some really touching stories. They touch on grief, they touch on like different elements of love, like friendship, family, romantic, etc. I just felt like reading something emotive.
Yeah.
They used to be really, really popular in the States, like a lot, like 10, 15 years ago. There were so many different kinds.
Yeah, there's like Chicken Soup for the Pet.
Or yes,
for
the exactly. Pet. So
I was like, all right, we're doing too much now. But yeah, like I'm reading that.
Gabby, what are you reading?
I just picked up a book called The Children of Blood and Bone.
Oh my god.
Okay, good, good. Yes. We're all aware. I've read one page and it's already lit.
One page, okay.
One page. Well, I'm busy.
Yeah. let us know how you do it. Let us know how you do it.
You are going to have
It's an emotional whirlwind, right?
Yeah,
now.
I mean, I started to read it and I was like, I can't. I was like, I'm too busy for this. Let me finish all the things I have to do.
Yeah.
But like on the plane back home, I'm going to get all up in it.
Yeah.
Really, really, really excited to see, because it's like a. Have you guys already talked about it in the show?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, good. So then we know that it's like a Game of Thrones, except black as shit.
Yeah.
And African, and that's those are my favorite things. And I'm really, 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 really super pumped to read. And also, like she sold the film rights to it like in a second something. So it's I want to get ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Because I was very far behind with Game of Thrones.
Oh, you're caught up now?
Let's discuss this.
Okay.
Because, look, I was super late to the party. See, well, I wasn't interested in Game of Thrones. And then, so, like, I have a group of black girlfriends who all explained it to me in such a black-ass way that I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And it was like, then he came through and he was like, bat, 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 bat. And then she was like, and she was a virgin. Then he was like, oh, my moon, my star.
My star.
Or whatever. And I was like, okay. He was like, and Lisa Bonet's husband was like, bat. I'm like, I was like, okay.
I love it.
That's why I had to start watching it. And then I watched like the first four seasons in like a weekend or something.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know what, the Red Wedding really crushed me.
Oh.
And I haven't been the same ever since.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know when I ever will.
No.
But
that was a very emotional end of season three.
It was so traumatic. After I watched it, I left my house. The next day, I was discussing it outside of a train station. My friend, I started crying.
Yeah.
Outside a train station, right. I was crying.
In public?
Yeah. In public. I was like, and then he said, the Lannisters sent their regards. No,
I had to pause and take several breaths.
I was a mess.
I need to jump on this wave.
You need to watch it. You need to watch it.
I've tried watching the first episode five times.
The first episode, you've got to push through the first episode.
Because
I remember,
they shove everything at you. They don't explain.
I started watching it when there were five seasons. And I started watching it. When I first watched that first episode, there were only three seasons out.
How many seasons are there now?
Like seven.
Seven
or something,
I am actually, so basically the composer, his name is Rahman Djawadi, he's doing a tour, and he's coming to London on Thursday evening. I'm going to see him.
Oh, fun.
And it's going to be like at this, like, the London Stadium, whatever, but it's going to be big, and I love the soundtrack. I'm literally obsessed.
Wow. You know they just greenlit the prequel.
The Age of Heroes.
Retweeted that today.
Crazy. I was shaking this morning. I was like, oh my
god. Is it really that good?
Apparently, yeah.
Have you read you should read the books, though.
Hell no.
If you like the books. And
yeah, I read the
they're
books.
They're a commitment. The books are
They're real.
I know this is a books podcast, but I'm not reading
them. Nah, like, the books are
incredible. He's like, I don't even know how to read.
It ain't it, y'all. It ain't it, y'all.
Definitely not.
Okay, so Children of Blood and Bone.
Yeah, I'm reading that. I just got into Sula.
Sula.
Oh, Morrison.
What's going on?
My God, that is
no. I tried reading it, but
Like in a good way. What is it?
Like, I feel like.
Wait. How far are you into it?
I'm not that far. I'm where what is it? I want to Suicide Day or something.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's very, very early.
Yeah.
It's very early.
I'm closing my ears because it's at home and I haven't.
To be fair, the reason why I'm kind of like it's just because. With Toni Morrison, she deals with so many traumatic things that sometimes I'm just not in the mood for it. And she does it in such a way that it's too, I don't know.
You're like, okay, Toni, right, chill out.
Yeah. So
it's aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not a massive fan of Toni Morrison.
I'm not, because I think, I mean, I've said this before, I think she writes to be deconstructed.
Oh.
Like, she writes for the college students to be like, and then this. Like, for example, The Bluest Eye. Yeah. I don't know, you found it really tough, right? But I didn't.
I only read the first couple of pages.
Really? Yeah. I was looking at it like a deconstructive way. Yeah. And, okay, how would I write an essay about this?
Yeah, I say this every time with Toni Morrison. There's a hurdle you need to get through. Like the thing after the first third of the book, it's tough. And then there's like a bit where it's just all free-flowing and you're like, oh, this is amazing, amazing, amazing. And then it's just like, bam.
We're just
stab you in the stab sense. You in the heart.
Stopped reading The Bluest Eye for this very reason, where I was just like, I don't think I have the concentration for it.
You've got to really push at it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever read Beloved. It looks too long.
I did half of Beloved. So the thing, I've read half of Beloved and it got to a point where I was like, I can't do anymore.
I'm still ready to fight somebody over the movie Beloved.
And oh,
I've not watched it. That's Oprah's in that.
Yes, Oprah, isn't it? Oprah is the Beloved.
Yeah.
No, that's not what it is. It's honestly, the Beloved is a very, very strange tale. It's very strange. It's strange in movie form. I'm guessing it's got to be even stranger in book form.
Yeah.
Book form is quite strange because you're like, is this real?
Yeah.
Is it not real?
Which is why I really want to get through Sula. I really, because like I've given up a few times on Toni Morrison and I really, really want to be a Toni Morrison fan. Like I really, really do.
Yeah.
All right.
Ray, what are you reading?
Oh, listen, this week has been tough. I told you.
Okay.
Life decisions. I picked up a copy of Vogue. And I read that. That's it.
That's it. Okay. That's I mean, fair enough. No pressure. Cool. All right. Well, let's move into the main topic.
The main discussion.
And we're going to be discussing your new book, This Is Just My Face. Try Not to Stare.
Yeah.
That's my book.
First thing, just wanted to ask, why or what made you decide to write this book?
You know, your discussion about adulting and making adult decisions is really funny because I find that I don't make them too much. They sort of just happen to me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I make a very small decision and it gets sort of out of hand. So the book came about because I wrote an essay about confidence because I'm asked about my confidence quite a lot. And not like in a great way. It's not like, oh my God, you're so confident. How are you doing it?
Yeah.
It's always like, oh my God, you're so confident. How are you doing it? Like, just like, like how dare you be confident in this way? And so I wrote about how like annoying that is. And it really was an essay about how like as a kid, I didn't really have friends. And I really tried to make friends. And the reason why I didn't have friends is not because I was like bullied, but because I kind of was an asshole. Like I was a very smart kid. Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever spoken to a smart kid, but nobody really likes a really smart,
they don't.
Self-aware kid. And so, I was very self-aware. I was very much already in my personality as a child, and it just didn't work with other children. And so I spent a lot of time alone. And my confidence really comes from just knowing myself and having practice with other people, with being okay with other people not liking me. Mm-hmm. And if that means confidence, that's fine. But I just genuinely don't care anymore. I'm too tired.
Yeah.
And so that essay sort of went viral. And it made rounds and it was everywhere. And a lot of publishing companies and book agents approached me thinking that I had a whole book in me. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't know. I didn't think I did. And, you know, when I think about writing books, I don't know why, but I envision someone writing a whole book in a night.
Yeah, me too.
And, but what happened, I just sort of was like, okay, this is an exercise in seeing whether or not I can write a book. And it started with like a chapter list. And I was really trying to write non-serious stories like fashion, hair. But I found that I only picked up my laptop to write whenever I felt stirred in my soul about certain things. And I felt like full, like sick, like I needed to throw up. And writing was the act of me throwing up. And like I was afraid that every chapter would be really depressing, but apparently it's really funny.
It's really funny.
Thank you.
It really is.
There's even moments where I'm kind of like, am I supposed to laugh?
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. And then it's when I see the LOL and I'm like,
I literally would write LOL and just
I just continue about your day and you're just like, okay, take us on that journey.
I love it.
So then, like, going back to what you said about poetry and how it's, you know, very intimate and you feel like you're intruding.
So I wanted to know.
Did you ever feel like, okay, I'm giving people too much access to myself when you was writing this?
No, the funny thing about writing is, like, it's not all in one night. That's weird, right? But it really is just me in a room by myself and everything's quiet. It's just me and my laptop.
Yeah.
And that's exactly who I'm writing for. I'm just writing for me and my laptop. I didn't consider the audience. I didn't consider the reader while I was writing it.
Yeah.
And yes. A lot of my stories, they're all intimate stories, and it is a lot of access. The thing is, like, I'm a really honest person in general. I just, you know, outside of being a professional actor, I don't love to lie. And I just think that there is so much danger in lying, and I thought, I'm going to be as honest as possible so that I can get whatever work I'm supposed to get out of writing. Mm-hmm. Whatever good it's going to do me, I'm going to allow it. And And it's still not, like, I finished the book when I was, like, 32 or 33 years old. Mm. It's not the entirety of my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's not your average autobiography where it's, like, 1983, May 6th, a star was born. Like, it's not that. It's, like, peaks into my life, peaks out. Like, yeah. You know, and it's exactly what I'm allowing you to know about me. There's plenty more dark stuff in me that I'm not going to share yet. Yeah. Or ever. That's my choice.
Yeah.
But the things I did share, I'm 100% okay with it because it is my truth and because it made me feel better.
Yeah.
And I truly did not consider an audience member. And like, and you can come up and ask me any of these things and I'd be willing to talk about them.
In the book, you obviously share quite a lot about your mum and the relationship that you had with your mum. And there was a part when you called her superstar amazing.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that.
That's what she told me to call her.
Really? I absolutely love that. And I think, I mean, the confidence that I see in you in the book, I see a lot of the confidence of that in your mother. And I just wanted to ask, like, when people come to you and look at you and think, oh, the temerity of you to have confidence in being a black woman in the spotlight, how do you go about navigating that practically with these people, though? Not just like, you know, if they are literally right in front of you, how do you go about dealing with that?
I think maybe one of the reasons why, like, there are so many, like, sad stories and then I laugh at it is because I sort of think of every experience as a blip in the grand scheme of my life, including when someone comes up to me and expects me to be one thing and I'm another, and then they try to dare me to not be the thing that I am. It's just a blip. They're gone, you know? And so I truly don't really care what other people think, whether they think something bad about me or good about me. I know I'm the navigator of my own life. Like, I'm the only one driving the ship. I go to bed with myself and I wake up with myself consistently. And so no matter what people think about me, it's always going to be secondary if it's that high up on the list in the first place to what I think about myself.
So how have people close to you, how have they reacted to your stories? Obviously, you talk about your brother, you talk about your mom, your dad, like...
I do. So...
What was the reaction?
Well, I mean, has your mom read it yet?
My mom did read it. So in the States, it came out in May 1st, 2017.
Oh, okay.
On July 4th, 2017, my mom texts me to congratulate me on the book. That's quite a few months later, if you were counting, because I think it took that long. One, I think that she was very nervous about what I was going to say in the book. Like, because back to what I said about, you know, I just told you exactly what I wanted to tell you and nothing more.
Yeah.
The book, my mom does come off, she is very confident, and she, I think some, a lot of people are like, so your mom's obviously your hero, because that's the way I wrote her. My mother is not my hero. She's my mother. My mother is not... I always am like, what? You're like best friends with your mom? That's weird. Because if you're best friends with your mom, then who's your mom? Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I have a very mom relation. And also, like, my mom was the A parent. So it was easier to write about my dad because I wasn't as, like geographically close to him.
Yeah.
Whereas with my mom... I worried more about what she thought. And, like, everything I said about her in the book is absolutely true.
Yeah.
So are the things I did not say about her in the book. And I think my mom was very afraid of how she would come off in the book.
Yeah.
And she could not congratulate me until she read it and made sure that she didn't come off the way
pride.
She could have. Yeah. My mom is as human as my dad is, as human as I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, has been great, but also has made mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's a relationship that is ongoing. There's sort of like a figuring out that I did with my dad. Mm-hmm. There's like almost closure with my dad, which allowed me to write about him a lot more honestly.
I was thinking, like, what's that like now with him, kind of based upon what you've said in the book?
So here's the funny thing. So at the beginning of writing the book, I was not talking to my dad.
There was
finality over that relationship for me.
Okay.
Or I thought there was, because there isn't. Like, when you decide to stop talking to a parent, there's no finality over it until, I guess, death. And I was like, I'm good. and throughout that distance and me thinking there was finality allowed me to see him as a person. And so seeing his humanity really helped me to get over the things that upset me about him. Mm-hmm. And so by the end of the book, we actually do, I do get back to having a relationship with him. I do. And so way after the book came, like when the book was coming out and I was on the press tour and, you know, I was being asked questions about it. And my dad, like, so like my book agents threw me like a book party and my dad came and my dad was exactly the way I described him. He was at the book party sitting cross leg on the couch.
Trying to see where there's French news.
Yeah, imagining French news in his head. Like, he was, and I was like, look, he's doing it. See? Like, he's exactly what I wanted him to be. And then my last day of the press tour, I'd gone on Trevor Noah. Mm. And afterwards, my dad and I went to dinner, and he said to me, he said, and he knew about the book, and he knew that he didn't, he was like, so I just want to let you know, I'm not going to cut you out of my life. And he said that his current wife, I guess maybe his favorite wife, because, oh, that's a whole thing. Like, if you read the book, there's a whole, like, wife thing with my dad. Yeah. And my dad is Muslim. My dad is very Senegalese and also very Muslim. And he said, I'm not going to cut you out of my life because my wife told me that I shouldn't and all of these things. And I was like, who you going to cut out? I got the money. Like, I don't. At this point, I mean, I'm such a grown up that if my dad cut me out of my his life, it actually doesn't really affect my day to day. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And I just assumed it was, like, over the things I said about him in the book and, like, the foster care and all that thing, you know, all that stuff and the wife and stuff. And then I was like, well, why? And then I asked, like, why would you cut me out of your life? And he said, because you're a slut.
Ooh.
And, like, I know that sounds really harsh, but I laugh so hard because, like, if you could own the dry spell mama was going through at the time, like a smooth Sahara, okay? Like, I was like, I wish, daddy, I wish I was out here in these streets. But my dad, he's like, honey. So, but my dad is very, and, like, also, that's not my dad's, it's my dad's culture. My dad is very Muslim. So, like, what happened is he heard that I talked about losing my virginity in the book, and that mere fact of, like, because I'm not married means that, you know, culturally speaking, I would be a slut. And he really didn't. He was saying it matter of fact, like, and also it was hilarious to hear my dad say the word slut. Where was I going with this story? Oh, so anyway, and I was like, that's so funny, daddy. And so I hadn't given him the book yet, but I took the book right in front of him and I dad proofed it. I was like, let's skip this whole section where I talk about, like, I don't know, boning, and then and don't read the phone sex chapter and don't read that. And I was like, and I'd get to this one, but I let him read everything that I said about him, every single thing. There's nothing, because I also had this motto: if you wanted me to say you were dope, you should have been dope. And that, like, that goes for me. If I want people to say I'm dope, I need to be dope to them, and I'm not always dope to everyone. And that's just the breaks.
What was his reaction when he read about himself?
I literally have never checked back in.
Really?
I know it sounds like I really actually in real life do not care. I really don't care. Like, there's something about, like, being this honest and talking this much is that I'm like, I'm out here saying it and I understand. Like, look, we live in the internet's time. We live in social media. Once you say something, you have to be very careful with your words because they live on forever. And the bulk of the things I say, I'm aware of that before I say them. I'm very thoughtful. And I gave it to him and I don't care about his reaction. And we Gucci. I just talked to him.
Because it's done now. It's out there. Now. It's printed. It's like...
That's your truth. Like, you can't.
And also, it's my version. His version is different.
Are you not interested to know, though, maybe how he's reflected on his own behavior after reading?
That's what I'd like. I'd be like, you now think about your behavior?
Yeah. Maybe it's caused him to grow in particular ways. I mean, African men don't tend. It's like they get to 40 and they're kind of solidified in how they are. Mm-hmm. So growth is rare.
You take that long?
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I know him since he was at least 31.
Perhaps your words maybe they stirred him a little bit and caused him to reflect and change.
And it's all that toxic masculinity and hyper masculinity just hiding all the emotion underneath that is actually there. But
I mean, doesn't that interest you at all?
No, because the other thing is, like, I don't think there's anything in the book that he read that is new. Like, the other thing about the way, my thoughtfulness And my honesty is, ain't nothing in there that's a secret. My actual family, other than like maybe phone text and all this, but like my issues with them have always, like, I've been arguing with my dad about why I'm not Muslim since I was five. Because I was born Muslim. I didn't want, honestly, it was over bacon. I wanted to no longer be Muslim. And my dad was like, you can't make that decision. You need to read the Quran. Because he didn't think I'd do it. And I did. Like, I'm telling you, as self-aware and like adult weirdly as I am right now, I was this at five. Yeah. I was this at 5 months. And I didn't read the whole Quran. I still was five. I skimmed it. Yeah. I skimmed it enough to know that this is not for me. And so my dad is not going to be surprised by any, because I've had it out with him.
Yeah.
Where are you with spirituality now? What does that mean to you?
So,
Alex question.
Like I said, I was born Muslim,
yeah.
Which I'm not sure you can be born any religion. And I remember my brother and I would pray with my dad every time he would pray. And at some point, I'd be like, are you going to teach me these words?
Oh, so he didn't teach you what they meant?
There were so many words, and no, he never taught me what they were. Like, I would just copy behind. There were some words that I would, like, pick up, like, because you hear it five times a day, like, a song. And I'd be like, I had no idea what I was saying, and it was, which is very different. My mom's Christian. My mom was Baptist and taught me the Lord's Prayer.
Mm.
And so, and it was in English, and so it was different.
So you understood it more, yeah.
Exactly. And so, but I still prayed every day, five times a day with my dad.
Yeah.
So I was exposed to both. And when I was a little older, my mom was a gospel singer.
Yeah.
But my mom said, I was not Christian. I also don't have godparents. I also was not the favorite child. Like, I was the second one. I'm only 11 months after my brother. And they got.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hella lazy, so fast.
Oh my God.
I have nothing. Got all the love.
Yeah, he did. And my mom was like, well, I don't want to baptize you. I don't want to christen you guys because I want you to choose your own religion.
Yeah,
so I've always known it was important to do so.
I had a few friends who said they would do that, and their parents did that for them as well.
Yeah, I think it's the best way because, like, at 19, I chose Christianity.
Yeah.
And I was exposed to both. I was exposed to Islam. I was exposed to Christianity and baptism and even Judaism because my mom performed at a lot of bar mitzvahs. And a lot of Jewish teachers. And so I chose religion when I was 19, and it changed my life. And then it changed my life in a way where I was like, actually, I don't believe that I need another person for God. Although the Bible says that when two or more are gathered in his name, he is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sure. But I went to, I mean, my church was very, very, very small, very normal until I had money. And then I literally had, like, during worship, my pastors told me that I was supposed to be a millionaire. Jesus spoke to them, said that I was supposed to be a millionaire.
Wow.
But I needed to know that that money wasn't my money. It was Jesus's money. So wow. Right now we're going to pray. We're going to bow our heads and anoint you so that your managers and your agents move to make you a millionaire, because I want to push this wall 50 feet back. I want to push this wall 50 feet back. We want a baptism pool. I want better light fixtures. So right now we're going to pray that you are a millionaire because I want a third floor. Like, it was that. And all of a sudden, and I realized that I was a distraction.
Yeah.
That in my place of worship, I was a distraction. And so I had to remove myself from that. And now, and I also, like, I was, like, really devastated for a long time. And then I realized that I actually don't need a third party to believe in God, to feel God, to feel His glory, and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And so I don't go to church. And I wouldn't even say that I'm spiritual, because that even feels like something different. But I believe that there's a higher power. I believe that something, that there's a bigger calling for me, and that there is something that I need to be very, very grateful to. And so I am. Yeah. But I'm that without the help of a pastor telling me what I need in order to get a check.
Speaking of spirituality, then, I'm really interested to ask you, do you actually believe in psychics?
Oh,
Psychics
are real, man.
I know, but the story you read, it almost convinced me.
And you don't?
I don't.
It always convinced me as well.
Yeah, I don't know how you can't. I mean, like, I don't know how I can't, for sure.
I think because I see so many charlatans, mm-hmm. it's difficult to then think, well, one of them must be real. Do you know what I mean?
Psychics.
Obviously, the story you've told is kind of like, wow, that's crazy. Like, but then you're still skeptical because it hasn't happened to you. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like you have to experience it to yourself.
I don't think it's that. I think it's more, you have to know whether you'll be open to that happening. If you're already skeptical looking at it, then you're probably not going to feel.
It's a self-fulfilling
It shouldn't work like that.
I'll be like, there's no reason, like, for me not to believe in psychics.
Yeah, but isn't it like?
Do you know what I mean? That's the way I look at it.
So do you believe in like those star signs and stuff, all of that stuff?
I don't believe in horoscopes.
Why? What's your sign?
I'm a Capricorn.
Typical Capricorn.
I don't believe in horoscopes, but I believe in astrology.
That okay, any sense. So that's what they stars.
Are. No, because I mean the horoscopes and just a
so
bit.
What, if you're, you're not a horoscope,
but the astrology, like the stars and the alignments, and when you're born at a particular time, and then
this
know.
Happens. Okay. But that is horoscopes.
Yeah.
Slightly different.
But they're connected, Alex.
You can't. I know. But like, I mean, obviously, if you're reading,
whatever.
No. By the way,
I'm a Taurus. So as a Capricorn, you and I are connected.
Yeah.
Oh, so is
Derek.
So is Derek. Oh, Derek's what are you?
Taurus as well.
Oh, hello. Oh,
hey.
Hi. Yeah. Wow. I hate male Tauruses.
The Gemini.
Whoa. Happy birthday.
I mean,
was it last week or was it?
Your birthday was last week.
End of May.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, but I'm really... this happens all the time.
Gemini,
Twitter and especially hate Gemini.
I know, because there's 40 of you. That's all. No, because, like, Geminis are a lot of different people.
Yeah.
No. Yes. We're not.
Kanye.
Donald Trump.
Is Kanye a Gemini?
Yeah, I think he is.
Is Donald Trump a Gemini as well?
Yeah, he's Trump.
Is he?
Yes, is Naomi Campbell.
Okay.
So is Lauryn Hill.
Okay.
So is...
And those are all examples
bitch,
of people.
You are proving this point.
This is what I'm saying.
Mamacita.
This is what I'm saying.
Today Alex called me Mariah Carey.
Yeah, well...
Apparently I'm Mariah Carey.
She's an Aries.
She's an Aries.
Is she?
But, yeah.
Oh.
How are you guys...
I hate that I know this so bad.
I was about to say, how are you guys just...
Beyonce is very famously a Virgo.
If you look in every newspaper, they have horoscopes, right? And then it's just somebody that writes.
I read them.
It's somebody that writes these things. And
I don't
kind
know.
Of
Susan Miller be hella lit.
Mm.
Susan Miller is actually really, really. It's like she's, but I totally get it. Yeah. This
I mean.
One message can't be for every
this
single
is what I mean.
Capricorn.
But
yes.
I appreciate the stars thing.
I don't believe
that. Because people used to read those before
but
anything
I,
else.
I used to read them.
Like back in the day.
No, they used to read the stars to know the directions.
Gabri, do you believe in psychics?
Okay. True, that is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I believe what you're saying. I also believe what you're saying. The thing is, it is very, very easy to prey on. Because, like, the reason people go to psychics is really because you're sad.
Yeah.
And you just want to know that whatever you're going through is not going to kill you.
Yeah.
You just want to know that you're not going to fall off of a cliff. And it's very easy to to take advantage of someone in that state.
Yeah.
And so there are lots of charlatans, and it's actually really, really easy. Like, it's super, it's cold reading. It's like, I'm seeing an older mother figure, a maternal figure. She could be past, she could be...
That's my aunt.
Of course. And then you answer the rest of the questions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you notice any psychic that I spoke to about, the psychics had said that I was going to be famous or I was going to be this thing or whatever, that I was going to, like, deal with Oprah somehow, I didn't pay any of them anything. There's no money that exchanged hands. Like, the first was my stepmother, who, like, she did do it for a living. People did come to her. And then the other two were just people I passed in the streets who just, like, and I didn't ask them. I didn't approach them, like, hey, am I going to die? They were, and they was like, Oprah. And that's not what happened. They were like, I see something. So, yes, I believe in psychics, and I have. I have a numerologist that's really, really great.
Oh, numerology. It's interesting.
Numerology is really interesting. And honestly, anyone can do it. But, like, my numerologist is, like, tits. Like, he's amazing. And he's not super expensive. Like, he's not out here with, like, a million homes and jets or anything like that. Some people just have a gift that does it. Because, like, the thing about it is it's a gift and a curse. Like, some people are like, you know, are warped with the fact that they can see other people's futures, that they can see death. And they can, you know, it's a huge responsibility, and it's a huge part of their lives, and they honestly can't really do anything else.
Yeah.
And so, and those people aren't usually crazy expensive, usually because they have so many clients and they don't want to take advantage of people. I do believe in psychics, but I don't believe, but I'm very aware of who actually has a gift. Because they're like, yes, I have a numerologist, and like, you're so on Google. Like, yes, but there are things you can Google about me and things you can't.
Yeah.
There are plenty of things you can't. Like, somebody, a psychic 7 years ago told me I was going to write a book, and I had no aspirations to write a book at all. And I remember, like, my discussion with him was like, I could never write a book. I could never do that to my mother. Mm. And then he said, your mom says that as long as you tell the truth, then she's going to be fine with it. She's not going to be happy with it, but it'll be whatever as long as you tell the truth. And when I told my mom that I was writing a book, every time I talked about it, she's like, well, as long as you write the truth, it's going to be fine, but it's whatever. She literally mirrored exactly what he said. And so, like, you couldn't have Googled that about me.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you could guess that somebody, a celebrity, might write a book, but, like, not that specifically.
Okay. Do you really believe your mom's psychic? Because one thing I found interesting is that every time you would say something about your mom, you'd say, oh, I just asked my mom, and she doesn't remember any of this. Was she trying to kind of just be like, leave me alone, or sort of thing?
So, it's, I feel I'm already tired saying this just because I know it's like a lot of us are. It is not only is it, so my mom is a Ridley. That's her last name. Mm-hmm. Not only is it a Ridley family trait, it is a City Bay family trait. A lot of us are.
Yeah.
And in different ways and in small ways. And my mom tells me that she had psychic visions when she was a child, and she was so terrified of it that she asked God to take it away. And he did. Wow. And she regrets it now. Yeah. Now she doesn't remember that. Mm. And like, I don't have memories of my grandmother, but everyone talks about how she was, you know, and like, and not in a way, like, wasn't charging anybody. And I can't quite say, I would not say that I'm very psychic. I'm very, very intuitive.
Yeah.
There are some things going on with me, and I just like, but I would never say that I'm psychic.
Yeah.
The same way my mom wouldn't, the same way my grandmother did. Cause like, it's a lot. And
it's a huge label.
Yeah. And I can't be sure that, you know, what I'm saying is real. Like, how do I know it's not just like Ridley big talk or whatever, where I just think I'm more important than I actually am.
Yeah.
But I think that she is just, I think she's nervous to say what she is.
Yeah.
And so she just doesn't. And none of us do.
So.
I want to, like, I say my future. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do this. Do everyone does that? Oh, man.
Yeah, that could be a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
You're going to enjoy Children of Luttenberg.
Oh, yeah, you're going to
love it. Oh, God, I'm so excited. Yeah. There's also this thing about, so what I kind of have the power of manifestation.
This is my power too, sis.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So I could be wrong. It just happens because I said it.
Thank you.
That we don't know.
That's interesting.
I actually wanted to ask a question around mental health and stuff, and like, you touch upon it on the book.
Yeah.
And I felt like you realized that there was a problem, or you had a problem, and you took action. And a lot of people don't do that. And I just wanted to know what made you go. What was it behind you that was like, I need to fix this. And a lot of people don't realize that. So that is something that is very important. And your mental stability is so paramount to who you are and how you live. So how did you... I can just think, oh, confidence. But yeah, like, what was it that made you...
It's not even confidence. Yeah. It's the confidence kind of... The idea that I could be a confident person came because I got help.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that... I'm black, and I'm guessing you all are...
Oh yeah, we're black too.
We don't identify as anything
else. I don't know
where
I identify as...
I identify as Beyonce, and she's got, she's got a lot of things in her.
She's Creole.
Creole.
I was like, yo, black ass is black. I don't give a fuck, you Creole. You ain't better than me. But, so the thing about, being black is... we don't really come from a foundation of talking.
There we go. Yeah.
At all. And maybe it's from, I don't have time to be sad. Slavery. Like, I don't have time to be, we're not great at addressing and doctoring things that we can't actually see.
Yeah.
That's true.
Everyone's sad. It's a depression. But we don't, because we don't have a foundation, we don't talk. And also our parents literally don't talk to us. Like, we don't. Like, my dad did not. Like, my dad and I's relationship was completely different. And, I even say in the book that, my dad always said that one day we'd be close. And I was like, that's bullshit. We're not close now. And I realized that, he had to wait till I wasn't a child. Because Africans don't talk to children.
Like, I don't understand that.
Children are completely different in Africa the way. Or in Senegal specifically, I think. Just because that's the part I know. Then we are everywhere else. No one talked about it. And honestly, I've always been a sad child. No one who's actually paying attention is surprised. The first time I spoke personally about suicide, I was 9 years old, and no one did anything. No one did anything. And in fact, I got in trouble for saying, and I'm not sure if I was serious at the time. I'm not sure. But it was something happened where I was at school, and all of my classmates hated me, and I was nine, and it was the last days of the school year, and all the girls in my class were following me around making fun of me, and I had a book, because books were my only friend, and I would walk away from them, sit someplace, and continue to read, and they would come after, and they would start, again. I moved around four times, and I think the fifth time I was you guys, you need to stop it, or I'm gonna kill myself. And I'm not sure that I'm not really sure that I meant it. Mm-hmm. It was sort of out of exasperation, and one of those little bitches told the school. This is school mom, the recess monitor.
Yeah.
And so I was asked to go to the principal's office. And the school had a protocol. If a child says that I was unaware of, they had to go home for the rest of the day. Not only did they have to go home, their parents had to come and pick them up.
Oh, no.
My mother did not come pick me up. And they still couldn't let me go home by myself. And so what happened is I spent the rest of the day in the principal's office.
Okay.
And still no one came to get me. So the principal drove me home. I didn't get home till 8, almost 9 p.m. And then my mom yelled at me for saying that. How could you say it? How could you say that? And then it was were you serious? And I was I should say no. Otherwise, I'm just going to get in trouble some more. And I probably did want to. If I had a button to erase my existence, I probably would have pushed it. But my mom being afraid, and I also say that, my mom, my parents love me more than I suspect they do. and it's their job to keep me safe. And the idea that I would rather they not is probably terrifying. And the only thing she knew to do was to yell at me to correct my behavior.
Yep.
But then nobody did. I was 9 years old. No one got me a therapist. No one said you should. No one checked in on me. Mm. And it wasn't until I was 19 that it just got too big.
Yeah.
And I realized I was an adult, and I realized this is my life, and I had to do it on my own.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing about that. And I just wrote a speech about how, my parents would love to say, anyone who loves me would love to say that I don't feel the way I feel, but they don't, they're not up all night with my racing thoughts. Mm. You know, they're not at school panicking and crying and sweating because my brain just won't shut off. They're not actually feeling what I'm feeling. And so it's easier for them to say, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not feeling. It's easier on them.
Yeah.
And my mental health is 100% mine. And so it's 100% my responsibility to get together. And honestly, I'm not going out like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to commit suicide because I know enough to check in with myself and to get my shit together.
Yeah.
And because it's my shit to get. Y'all curse on this. Y'all
Absolutely.
So it's my fucking shit to get. But it's my mental health, and it's most important to me.
Yeah.
And the same with you, the same with anyone else. If no one believes that you're sick, you don't need them to. I don't need anyone to believe I'm sick. It doesn't matter to that anyone else. It doesn't matter. It matters to me. And so I get my own help because I, as sad as I get, I really enjoy being alive. Mm. I really enjoy it. I'm having a really, really great time. And depression will always be a part of me because that's my chemistry. But I know better than to let it eat me.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Woo! Powerful. I mean, we could have just ended it there and it would just been like,
that's
you
what
know.
I was going to say. Yeah, exactly.
End it there. All
right. Let's end it there. Let's move on to our next section.
Oh, man.
Which is mostly... Flicks.
The film I didn't watch.
Okay.
So touch this. So the
film's called The Five.
I'm about to read you because I feel like your feelings on it are incorrect.
Well, I mean, let's
the film's called The Five. What?
Heartbeats.
Five heartbeats.
How dare you?
Five Heartbeats.
Yeah.
The Five Heartbeats, directed by Robert Townsend. How dare you?
Yeah. The thing is, like, I really did like the movie. It was really nice to see familiar faces that were really young.
Like Leon Ridley.
I really liked that. And like I said, like, it did feel kind of like, because I've not watched many movies like that. It did kind of feel, well, you're ready for me.
No, I'm so sorry. You know what? You're right. I'm so sorry. My posture and everything, I was like, you're right. No, I'm a chill.
Derek is shook. He's just like, oh my God.
No, my energy was already fucking you up. Right.
It's kind of like, it was a precursor to the New Edition story.
It make no sense. Because the New Edition story came out in 2017. And the Five Heartbeat is not a pre... No,
prequel, but kind of, I think because I watched that first, and when I watched the Five Heartbeats, I was like, oh, okay, so this could kind of be like the model that they used to make the New Edition story.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So the Five Heartbeats is a lot of people believe that they were real, but it's actually a fictional, Motown singing group in the vein of the Temptations, which
is what I kind of thought, actually
a singing group. So it's was it five guys?
Mm-hmm.
Four guys. Robert Townsend, Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Who's everything? They're brothers, and
those two are so good looking.
Yeah. I know.
You know what? When I first saw him at the beginning, where he's kind of leaning down and he's calling one of the girls over, I was thinking to myself, actually, never mind.
Derek was like, can I come over?
Yeah, you know, some people are so good looking, like so sexy. You're a bit uncomfortable by it.
Yeah, no, he's a Leon, a fine ass motherfucker. Yeah.
like, cool runnings guy.
Exactly, cool runnings guy. He also played Little Richard. He also, do you guys have Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Yeah.
So you know he's Cynthia Bailey's baby daddy.
Oh,
that's Noelle's dad. Yes.
What?
His fine ass. Yes.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That's Noelle's daddy. I want him to be my daddy. I ran into him in a Jamba Juice once. I was like, yes, sir. So it's those two are brothers. And they're so poor. They have, like, 11 brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
they all share a bunk bed. Like, all of them. And then Choir Boy, who was the son of a preacher. And then the lead singer, who is the lead singer. He's fine, too. But he's got some... Yeah, he's a bad boy.
Harry Lennox.
And then there's Harry Lennox, who is the baritone, I think.
Yeah.
I think. And it's how they become famous and how the fame changes their lives and what happens to them. Like, the lead singer eventually becomes a drug addict and they have to kick him out of the group. And then the brothers don't speak anymore because Leon, the fine-ass brother, steals Duck, the, I guess, Robert Townsend brother. It felt mean to call him the unfine-ass brother because Robert Townsend is also fine. I would also take that daddy. And it breaks up the group because he takes his girl. And then eventually they get back together. But it's like the Temptations. It's such an incredible story with incredible music. And it's just, it is a black classic.
Yeah, I love the music. But I just thought that sometimes the movie couldn't make up its mind about what it wanted to be.
Yeah.
So there was the bit where the murder bit, Do you know what I mean? I was kind of just like, this,
fuck red.
This feel, yeah, fuck red. But it's kind of just like, this just feels a little bit strange in here, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of bit. And then again, with the cheating thing as well,
okay.
There was just so many things like thrown at me. I was just kind of like, what's going
it was
on?
Like, it was like, let's just get all of the issues that could actually be involved in an African-American group at this point. Of history, let's just throw it at them.
But if you remember, that movie actually, have we all seen the Temptations movie?
I've not seen the Temptations.
So there's a Temptations movie. It was on VH1. It was like the American Dreams, the Jackson movie.
Okay.
Did you guys see that? But Five Heartbeats predates the Jackson movie.
Yeah.
Predates the Temptation movie. Predates New Editions movie.
Yeah.
Just gave him such a side eye. Predates all of these movies. And so in a weird way, it sort of is the innovator of that kind of genre of, you know, Motown music storytelling.
Yeah. I can get that, definitely. When apparently his fiance was cheating with his brother, were they actually cheating? Because I know they went into the hotel together, but he was basically just saying, you can't marry my brother because you're in love with me. But we don't actually know whether they did anything.
They didn't physically, but they were still sat on there, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that his other brother didn't see any of that. He doesn't know what went down in the hotel. He just left on the assumption that they're, you know...
But he knows his brother, because remember the very first scene, he has to do the shy brother thing in order for him to get a girl, and his brother constantly walks away with his girls. Mm. So that's why I think he was like, not this one, the one I love, the one I'm about to marry. This is so I think he already knew it was up because he's seen his brother do this.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I did. I enjoyed it. I'll watch it again, actually.
Think about this.
Yes. Like, I ain't got nothing but love for you, babe. When they're singing this with the police officers, sing it, niggas.
I was like, what is going to happen? I thought, are they going to sing? What's going to happen? And then it just, out of nowhere, I came with the baritone.
I thought the Bobby Brown kind of character, the bad boy, I thought he was going to do something. I didn't think he was going to sing.
But he didn't really sing.
Doing that.
When he was all, we do this all the time. My friends and I do this all the time where it's like, I can't think of it. He's like, I still got it, Duck. I still got it.
Oh, is that when he's...
when they kick him out of the group and he's in the back. Nice like this, I wish raindrops would fall. I still got it, Duck. I still got it. You're on crack. You ain't still got it. Stop.
Because there were so many memes. So many things that came from that film, and I was like, what is this film called? So when you put it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the film.
This is the film.
I watch it. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty good film. It's pretty funny.
Okay, well, I'll go and watch it then.
You would love it.
Okay. Yeah, it was very funny, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because Robert Townsend is he also, did you guys see Hollywood Shuffle?
No.
What? Okay, have to see it.
So now we have
Hollywood Shuffle is an incredible film directed again by Robert Townsend. Also stars Robert Townsend. And it's all about what it's like to be a black actor in Hollywood at a time where if you want to be hired, you're either a maid or a pimp.
Yeah.
Or you're a criminal and stuff. And he wrote the movie himself, directed himself. He maxed out credit cards. He applied for lines and lines and lines of credit. And he really bet on himself for it. And it became such a huge success. And it's this idea that you don't have to wait for Hollywood to cast you as a pimp in order to be successful. You don't have to wait for Hollywood to say you're good enough to be somebody's maid in a movie. You can actually bet on yourself and win. It's incredible. You should see it.
Definitely gonna watch it.
I'll watch it, definitely. So we've come to the end of the show.
No, we haven't.
Oh, sorry.
He always does this shit.
I was used to you not being here since last week.
Sorry. Okay.
My bad. Go ahead.
This Ray's corner when she has an issue. It's the read.
So I have an issue today. So my issue is pretty simple. As you guys all know, I am the lead president of The Hive over here in Europe and the Middle East and Australia. And I'm really pissed off because I thought as, you know, president of the Hive, I'd get a letter.
A WhatsApp.
A letter from, you know, the Hive over in the US to tell me 24 hours before the album drops that something is going to happen. Now, unfortunately, I was up all night waiting on the first day. I think it was the 6th of June when Beyonce was on this stupid redeeming Jay-Z tour that she's doing right now.
You guys need to...
He's earned his stripes.
Wait, how... I have not finished my speech.
Wait.
Please, wait until I finish my presidency speech. Thank you. And so I did not receive this email from the US Hive. And this heifer went to Cardiff and she really just did Coachella again. She did the same thing. No album. So I just wanted to make a public announcement to Beyonce and your team over at Parkwood Entertainment.
Ooh, girl, be careful.
Please?
Wait, hold on. Before you finish the statement, I have nothing to do with this.
You better drop something. Because Friday, I'm going to see Beyonce and her plus one. And if there is no music till then yet, it's on site. I'm coming up on that stage.
What are you going to do?
And I'm having a...
What are you going to do?
Listen, Uncle Julius, that bodyguard, can step aside because I'm there.
Right,
wow. So yeah, that's my speech.
Are
and that's my issue. And you guys are welcome to add in anything you want
to
say.
I have nothing to say.
Right.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
So do you actually get like a heads up email or something from...
Gabrielle.
No,
this is all in her head.
Okay, got it. I just needed to know what's real and what's not, because I could have sworn that Beyonce does what the fuck she feels when she fucking feels
thinking. Gemini.
This is it.
Gemini.
Wow.
This is what we were saying.
You know, there's several things going on there.
She has no idea who we are, what's happening.
See, I get it.
Thank you for reminding me.
No, this ain't real, but this is just how I feel. I'm really offended. I'm actually offended. Like, I was there waiting after Coachella. This woman hasn't posted up from Coachella. 29th of April, I think it was. That was the last time she posted a picture on Instagram. And I was really rooting every day. My notifications were on.
Yeah. But that's kind of rude, though.
Right?
You actually do have a whole world tour.
A whole world tour.
And there's no music.
And there's no new music.
The plus one shade is... phenomenal.
It's like, I've seen pictures of him on stage of her in Cardiff.
From Bed-Stuy, I know Marcy Project quite well. I've been a Jay-Z fan for a long time. And he's still got splainers. So I don't give a damn. About it. Also, anybody, like, you know what? Google this later.
Okay.
I don't want to, Google this later. But I'll just say this and we can move on.
Okay.
Denzel Washington and Jay-Z currently look exactly alike to me. Take that how you want. Take it how you want. Google it later. Just side by side them. Something's happening, y'all.
Yes.
I almost tweeted it and I said, better not.
You are right.
But something's happening.
You are right.
I don't know what. Yes. I'm not saying it's a bad or negative or a good thing. I'm just saying it's happening.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with it. Now, let's move on. I also think it's rude as fuck that we out here in a stadium tour and ain't got no goddamn out. I was petrified because my 11-hour flight my 11-hour flight here on Wednesday, I was like, I swear to God, this is gonna be the moment. Like, this is my fear coming into life, because I'm terrified that I would be on a long flight or like in a very long meeting.
Yeah.
First of all, when the Beyonce album came out, I had wrapped my doobie. Okay, I put my scarf on. I was going to bed.
Yes.
It was after Scandal. Yeah. I said goodnight, and then I hop on the Twitter, and everyone's cussing and screaming over. I said, I unwrapped my doobie.
I woke up in the morning.
You woke up in the morning. Thank God I got there right before. Mm-hmm. Okay, when she dropped it, Formation, mm-hmm. Formation happened literally as I was boarding a plane.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said,
goodness.
It right before he took off. I said, bitch, you was close.
Yeah.
Bitch, you was real close. So I just knew that this 11-hour flight was going to be the one, because also it was June 5th.
Yeah.
Her show started June 6th.
Yep.
And I was like, this is the moment.
Yeah.
Now, it's rude. Like, also, we saw her walking around with her laptop. We knew she was up to something.
She's in Jamaica.
Why was she in Jamaica? Up to something. So I'm thinking, you know
she
what
she was shooting
doing.
Videos also.
Right?
Yes.
You know what? I didn't even remember. You're
she
right.
Was.
She was shooting videos in Jamaica.
She was in Jamaica.
What
doing
is she doing?
Dun, 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 stupid ass song. She was doing all of this stuff for what? tell me for what? This is what I know she's going to do. She's going to finish that stupid tour. She's going to drop an album and she's not going to say anything for the next 2 years.
Wait a minute. I was literally, I was really about to be like, what? I was about to be like super on her side.
No,
we're like, look,
she is a witch.
Beyonce already gives us so much. Okay? she like, let's, if we want to keep it funky, she don't owe us nothing. She is giving us three prophets. She's giving us three nuggety babies.
Right?
She owes us nothing. I was about to say that. I was about to be like, she owe us. And then I was about to be like, no, she don't owe us. But then I remembered the video.
The video, right? See?
The laptop everywhere.
The laptop.
The braids. When she gets the braids, you know that.
Remember that
hairstyle.
Yes, the protective. Yeah, but like also, wasn't she wearing a jacket with like, with shoulder pads?
Right?
What was that about if we weren't getting an album? Also, I also know. She really, really... Look, she's trolling the shit out of it. Like, and she
knows,
loves it.
She knows what we're doing. Yeah. Beyonce is the type of person that... You know how in... I think it was like year four when she got those... that group... that dancing group when she was doing Girls. She got a group in...
the Africans.
Yes. She was trolling. She was like... She said, like, I was on YouTube. I was on, you know, just trolling, trying to see inspiration. This is how I know Beyonce has a secret account on Twitter that
she
probably
does.
Has, like...
She does.
Like a dog or something.
And I had a secret. I look like I just joined Twitter. I actually had a secret account on Twitter for 4 years before I became...
I'm telling you, Beyonce
I have a secret
has,
Instagram like, account.
Yeah, Beyonce
how
has all of these things. I'm probably talking to Beyonce. I don't even know it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's just to see all of these things, just to get inspiration.
The bitch are crafty.
Okay? This is it.
She crafty.
So this is how I know she's up to something, but she wants to test our resolve. She's like, you know what? Are you going to come?
She's listening to Blue Ivy. Blue Ivy's staring at her.
She tells her what to do. She tells her exactly
what
to do.
So what we're not going to do, we're not going to put an album out.
We're not going to do it. We're going to let them start. And like, honestly, let's not give her what she wants. No, like, let's just, she gonna troll us. Let's treat her like a troll.
Yeah.
All right? Let's ignore her. Let's ignore her.
Thank you.
Until she's, and like, you know what, sis? Drop it when you're ready.
Yeah.
When you're ready, on your time. Yeah. You know what, matter of fact, not even on your time. On Blue's time.
On Blue's time.
How about that? Whenever Blue feel like she ready, I'll be ready. Yeah. Until then, be blessed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My issues are done.
Thank you guys for that.
Oh, I forgot y'all was here.
Basically, I just decided that Gabby's our new co-host. We're going to have to drop one of these boys. And,
that ain't going
to
be me.
You can join anytime you want.
Good, good.
Thank you. Thank you guys for watching, listening.
Yes, thanks guys for listening. This has been mostly Beyonce.
Yes! Mostly Beyonce. Let's go.
But yes, so yes, thank you for joining us, guys. Next week, where are we going to be?
A live show.
So next week we're going to be at Africa Rights. We're going to be joined by Afua Hirsch. We're going to be talking identity.
Yes.
Politics.
Her new book.
Britishness.
British.
So yes.
Oh,
please.
So I'm not invited. That's cool.
I mean, you can.
No.
Hop back on that flight. If you want to come back, we'll welcome you. But you know,
that's when she'll drop the album.
Take me where you're going because I can just drop these two.
Oh my god.
Yes. So we'll be there, and we're really excited to see you guys. And we have quite a few live shows lined up this
month.
We
do. So if you check our Twitter, you'll be able to find all of them. If you check our website as well, you'll be able to find them. Find us on Twitter at MostlyLit, Instagram MostlyLitPod.
Email us
at mostlylit@gmail.com.
And our website, mostly-lit.com. Oh, okay, cool. Yes, and then, Gabby, where can they find you?
Oh, everywhere.
So I'm on Twitter as @GabbyCityBay, I'm sure. My Instagram, my actual Instagram is Gabby3Shabby, the number 3. Two B's and a Y for both Gabby and Shabby, so Gabby3Shabby. And if you happen to see a small picture of me on Instagram with the name Power Bottom, it's me, but you still ain't invited in. So take your ass down to Gabby3Shabby and be happy with what I gave you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming, Gabby.
Thank you for having me.
So much. It was such fun to have you.
Thank you, Gabby.
And we'll catch you guys next week.
Thanks, yep, guys. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Ray.
I'm Alex Reese.
Welcome back to another episode of
Mostly Lit.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.